Welcome back. I'm Mia Zachary. This is Elemental Abundance, and I'm once again spending the day at Village Connector Media with my friend, my guide, my soulmate, my traveling companion on the path, Glenn Garnes. Glenn, thanks for being here again.
It's nice to be back so quickly.
It was a little bit unexpected, but you know what? We're just going to roll with it and see what happens. So in the first three episodes, I introduced you to Glenn as one of my regular co-hosts, as well as Renee Canali as my other regular co-host. And we gave you a very broad, very unstructured, very much unscripted, broad overview of a lot of information. Starting with this episode, we are going to unpack and slow down so that we can have a narrower focus and give you a more complete coverage of the topic. So today our focus is something that came up in the last episode, which is creation. So we want to explore this on a deeper level today. And the overall theme that we want to share with you is that we are the creators of our existence. Glenn, you said something last time that kind of triggered my desire to continue this conversation. You said, quote, "If you can create misery, you can create mastery of your life." And I thought, wow, we really need to have a conversation around that.
Well, that's what most people are doing right now, is that they are unconsciously creating misery because they don't understand how to, in a positive way, direct their creative energies. They don't understand themselves to be creative beings. And by creative beings, I mean they don't understand the process by which creation takes place from within them.
Well, let me do a step back on that. Most people, when you say, you know, she's the creative type or he's really creative, they immediately think of tangible creativities as in the arts or music or something like that. So most people will say, oh, I'm not the creative type, but actually we are all creating our reality every single moment of every single day. And what I actually teach in a completely different context, you know, writing and creativity, is that every time you're faced with an issue or an obstacle, you are creative because you have to think of solutions or alternates or other ways of doing things. So, you know, with over 160 million brain cells, neurons, in the executive functions of your brain, we are creators every day, but that's on the physical level. What we want to talk to you about today is not creativity as an expression of art, not creativity as a way to solve problems, but creativity in that you are creating everything that happens to you. One of the other things that Glenn said in the last episode is what happens to you happens for you. But I want to clarify that today in our discussion is that things don't happen to you. You invite them into your life by what you create.
And you invite them into your life largely by what you think and what you give your attention to, which is something we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I guess one of the ways I would encourage people to begin their exploration of some of these concepts is to resist the temptation to interpret words or give words the meaning that they traditionally have in society. For example, when we talk about people that are thoughtful, your immediate thought when you hear, oh, that person is really thoughtful, is that they're kind or nice or, you know, attentive to people. Thoughtful means exactly what it says, full of thought. So when you did something that was thoughtful, it meant that you took the time to think, you deliberated, you gave it your creative thought and creative attention. Not that you were kind, because that's kind of become a societal acceptance. Oh, that was very thoughtful of you.
Right.
What does that really mean to be thoughtful? It means to be full of thought.
Exactly. So one of the purposes behind this podcast is to get you to open up your mind and to consider things in a different way. Edward de Bono is a psychologist, was, I think he's passed, but one of the quotes that I really love is from him, and it's, "Creativity involves breaking out of established patterns in order to look at things in a different way." And that's really the purpose and my intention behind the Elemental Abundance podcast, is to invite you to break out of your conventional thinking, to learn how to think for yourself and not just accept the things that you're told, and to look at your life in a different way. You're going to hear quite a few quotes today because that's the kind of mood we're in. And quotes are really just quick wisdom. And you'll be able to, you know, find these later on in the show notes at elementalabundance.com/podcast. So don't worry about missing anything. Right now, we just invite you to sit back and listen and join in the conversation.
And I'm glad you mentioned about quotes, because it's important in my, you know, I'm a big advocate for learning through quotes. And I consider quotes to be a way to get a lot of wisdom in a very short period of time. Because usually, no matter how short the quote is, there's usually a lot more behind it, because the quote embodies a thought. And thoughts have a lot of substance to them. So in reality, the quote is merely a, I'll call it a placeholder for a bigger thought.
Nice.
And that's why it's important for people, when they study quotes, to look for the interpretation, look for what it means to them, look for
the deeper insights
into the quote. Exactly. And so we are going to throw a lot of quotes out right now, or during the course of our little chat here today. And I think that if you really take the time to consciously think, to be full of thought about the quotes, you'll start to really appreciate what we're talking about when it comes to thinking in a different way. That quote that you gave from Edward de Bono, I think, it truly represents the essence of your podcast. It's a perfect expression of what you're looking to accomplish here. And I think that, you know, you attracted that, of course.
I did, of course.
And the bottom line is that you did a very good job of attracting it, because you gave thought. You were thoughtful.
I was
about
thoughtful.
What you wanted to express to people was the purpose of the podcast. So good for you.
Thank you. So the purpose of today specifically is just to invite you to wrap your head around a brand new concept. You can have, you can be, you can do anything that you want. And I know that there's someone out there listening going, yeah, right. But it's a universal truth, which is why it's a topic on this show. So Glenn, let's talk about creativity itself, true creativity. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give people the email address to contact us, because what I'm about to say is going to be a little controversial for some people. It's going to be unfamiliar, might be a little bit mind-blowing. So before I even say what I'm about to say, you can contact us with questions, comments, and death threats at feelgood@elementalabundance.com. I believe in the great creator. I am not particularly religious in the traditional sense, but I believe in the great architect, the intelligent energy, God, Allah, whatever you the force, if whatever term you're comfortable with, I believe that there is something greater than all of us. And you'll find in the Christian Bible references to people, humans, being created in God's image. We tend to misinterpret that, to think that, oh, God must be Caucasian, I'm made in his image. God must be African American, I'm made in his image. But it has nothing to do with the physical bodies. So here comes the mind-blowing part. We are not bodies with souls. We are souls that inhabit bodies for the sake of experiencing life on earth. So when I say that we are created in God's image, what I mean is we are part of, we are one with the intelligent energy, and therefore we have the same power of creation. I don't want anybody freaking out when I say that we are God, but that is exactly what I am saying. We are God. God is us. We are all one. Therefore, if God has the power to create, so do we.
And if
feel good at abundance at feel good at elementalabundance.com for your comments and questions.
All right. So again, we're talking about a concept that's going to be uncomfortable for people who are not used to thinking about it that way or embracing that concept. So what I encourage you to do is, before you simply reject it out of hand, consider the idea. You don't have to accept the idea in order to be objective in hearing someone else's perspective. That's one of the reasons that we have in society such a difficult time communicating with each other, because when someone expresses an idea that may be initially, in appearance at least, in conflict with what you believe, you have a tendency to tune it out. And when you tune it out, you have no opportunity to objectively consider it and see if there's a way to reconcile it with your own beliefs.
Exactly. And one of the reasons that I anticipate there will be listeners who automatically reject the idea, the concept, the universal truth that they have the same creative powers is that means they have to take responsibility. They don't get to be victims anymore.
Exactly. Excuse me. I should have gotten something to drink before I came in here. But so let me share an idea. That kind of, no, I'm good. That's fine. Let me share an idea that kind of, I think will be a good place to get the conversation on this started. And again, the truth is that this one topic, this one theme could cover an entire year's worth
of
shows every day and still not scratch the scratch. So what we're really doing here is introducing some concepts that we expect you will hopefully go deeper with. Go out and study on your own. Go out now that you're aware of this other interpretation and find your truth. Find, you know, whether there's validation or whether there's evidence, whether there's something to document or substantiate any of what you believe or any of what, you know, what we're sharing with you here. But that's why I believe that personal development is a lifelong journey. You're just exploring to find the truth, to find your truth. Now, with that in mind, when we talk about the concept of being creative beings, and I'm going to go all the way back to, I realize we're talking, we just mentioned, you know, Mia mentioned that she's not a religious person. She's a spiritual person. And we make a lot of reference to Christian belief systems, mostly because that's what we grew up with. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the truth is that there are a lot of religious texts that refer to us being made in God's image. But a lot of the references that I'm familiar with that come directly from the Bible, that in my understanding, and I am not an expert on the Bible, so let me make that clear up front. And some of the paraphrasing that I'm going to offer about my interpretation is going to be very different from what you may have heard from someone who is a true scholar of the Bible. But I go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Is that what it was?
Whatever. You're asking the wrong person.
But he said, let there be light, and there was light. And he let there be all these things. And when you think about that, God had the power to create and to have things manifest virtually immediately. Now, when we look in the Bible, you know, they talk about the fact that, you know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I remember once being told that there wasn't a specific time frame involved there. It didn't necessarily manifest immediately, but it did manifest from the statement, from the declaration.
Right.
You know.
Right.
He didn't wish and hope for light. he said, let there be light, and there was.
Right.
Now, we don't know if it was a day. You know, actually, some people would say that, you know, this all happened within 7 days. So on the first day, he said, so again, maybe it took a day.
But
what is a day? Yeah, what is a day in the life of God?
Exactly. It's a completely different thing.
My point was that the process was to first have a desire for the thing to manifest. And I suspect that in the process of having the desire that it be so, that God also gave it his or her attention. And so one of the things about creation, and we're going to talk about, we're going to get into, I'm just laying the foundation for this. One of the things about creation is that it starts with a desire that something be so, and then an expectation that it is. And, you know, we'll understand a little bit more about that in a minute. Now, let's fast forward to the New Testament. I remember reference in the New Testament to Jesus being in the company of his disciples, and they're witnessing him performing great miracles, and his making reference, and I'm really grossly paraphrasing here, something to the effect of, this too shall you do and more. Now, the disciples didn't seem to understand that, but I believe, based on the context in which Jesus made that statement, that he was basically saying that when you all understand how to create, how to become one with God, how to become, you know, to reach your full potential, these things are things that are within your capability.
When you believe it,
you'll see it. Exactly. And so, you know, we see reference in the Bible to those types of things, you know, being made in God's image, meaning having the characteristics and traits and some of the lesser developed on our end, of course, but nevertheless the power to create. That's a difficult concept for a lot of us to grasp, because we're so used to thinking in the context of being unworthy and being small in comparison to God. And I guess being small in comparison to anything is just a matter of relativity. I mean,
being small doesn't mean unconnected.
That's right. And that's, I believe, when Jesus made reference to this too shall you do and more, and coming together in my Father's name and asking and receiving. These are all concepts that are they're replete throughout the Bible. In fact, I consider the Bible to be one of the best personal development books ever written. Now, you know, I realize that it is the gospel to Christianity, but my point is that regardless of what it means to you, there is wisdom in there that you should be willing to live by, or at least willing to understand, regardless of what your belief system may be, whether it's Christianity or anything else. There's one of my favorite books is a book called The Leadership Wisdom of Jesus. Now, that book is relevant to everybody, regardless of whether you're a Christian, because there's some information in the Bible that can be helpful to you in life, regardless of what your religious beliefs are. You know, we don't have time to go through all of that today. I understand that. But here's the point. There is, from my own experience, a creative process that allows us to use our thought to cause things to manifest physically in our lives.
Yeah.
Most of us go through life not understanding that creative process, and therefore we can tend to cause things to manifest in our lives that are undesirable in our, you know, in our estimation. But that does not diminish the fact that we were the cause of those things manifesting.
In order to clarify for the listeners, I'd like to actually read, instead of just quoting, I'd like to read directly from a book that we both enjoyed, have read multiple times, and highly recommend. It's called Conversations with God, An Uncommon Dialogue by Neil Donald Walsh. And I'll put that reference in the show notes as well. But on page 91, I want to read this so that you understand where we're going with the rest of the conversation. Quote, "You create at three levels. The tools of creation are thought, word, and deed. All creation begins with thought. All creation then moves to word, all creation is fulfilled indeed. That which you think of, but thereafter never speak of, creates at one level. That which you think of and speak of creates at a higher level. And that which you think, speak, and act on becomes manifest in your reality. Now, the process of creation must include belief or knowing. This is absolute faith. This is beyond hoping. This is knowing of certainty that that which you thought of, spoke of, and act on has been created for you. This place of knowing is a place of intense and incredible gratitude. We're going to talk about that on a completely separate podcast. It is a thankfulness in advance. And that perhaps is the biggest key to creation, to be grateful before and for the creation. So once again, and that's the end of the quote, the steps are to think about it, to speak about it, and to act upon it.
Exactly. And it gets even deeper than that, which is why this really merits some serious consideration and study and understanding on your part if you really want to harness the power of it. And with that in mind, I would say that what you just described is very consistent with what I've seen in other, you know, other people who understand the creative process. There's so many people that have expressed this in a variety of different ways that are actually living it, that it becomes for me truth just by virtue of the universality of it. You know, there's so many people that have over the years expressed this in their own way that had major roles in history. For example, Winston Churchill, you know, his one of my favorite quotes from him is that
you create.
There was another one I wanted to go first, but we'll do the Winston Churchill one first. You create your own universe as you go along. There's another one that comes from, I mean, there's so many people who have expressed this. I mean, I've heard Earl Nightingale. I've heard James Allen. I've heard it attributed to Buddha, which is that you become what you think about
most
of the time.
What you think about
You become what you think about most of the time. Another way to express that is you get what you think about most of the time. And so remember, all of this starts with thought. And so thought is the process by which creativity begins. It is the catalyst for the creative process.
Right.
Before, if you want to go back to Genesis, before there could be light, God had to think and have a desire for there to be light. And that's why it's called Genesis, right? You know, I'm assuming that's why.
I'd love to clarify what we mean by thought. Because the average person has hundreds, if not thousands, of thoughts a day. But for the most part, probably 95.5%, they're very superficial thoughts. It's basically brain chatter. And that's not what we're talking about here when we're talking about thought. Creative thought is a much deeper level. And it's a different kind of thought. As Glenn mentioned before, it's thoughtful. Creative thought is at a deeper level. It's with a certain level of belief and faith and deliberation.
Right. And you made a great distinction there. Brain activity is not thought. There is a distinction. And that's where I think we should go now, is to help to understand that distinction. The fact that you have information passing before your mind, so to speak, or coming to your attention, doesn't mean that you're necessarily giving thought to what you are experiencing in the way of brain activity. Thought is a conscious process. Brain activity simply is taking place. You're sensing through, you know, your eyes and through your skin, you know, your touch, sense of touch and hearing. You're experiencing external stimuli that may be causing you to experience brain activity, but until you give conscious deliberation or conscious thought to that brain activity or that external stimulus, you're not really engaged in thought.
And I think conscious is the key. You know, right now we're sitting in the studio, but I have to stop and consciously think, oh, okay, the chair is a little bit hard. I need to shift position. Oh, the air conditioner just came on. You know, these are things that are like brain chatter that's happening all the time, but none of that is deliberate thought until I consciously call attention to it.
Exactly. And that's a great metaphor, a great way to paint the picture of it. So, and on that note, we talk about painting a picture. That is really another way to begin the creative process. So let's talk about what I'm calling a three-step process by which creation takes place. And I learned this from a variety of different publications I've read over the years, speakers that I've heard, people that are knowledgeable about this. What we're basically talking about here is what's known commonly as the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, you attract to you. You become what you think about most. You're basically calling into your life these things. I think it was... Who was it? It was Einstein that said, imagination
is everything.
It's the preview of life's coming attractions. So you may start with a daydream or a idea that comes into your mind, and that is the beginning of the process. And when you start to work with that idea, that's what causes it to be manifest when you follow this little three-step process that I've, as I said, learned from a variety of, this isn't like any one source. This is what I've found to be commonly believed by so many people who have spoken on personal development, on the natural laws of the universe, and on law of attraction in particular, that it can't possibly be that they are all wrong. And this goes back into religious texts and other educational texts that have been around for millennia. So this is not just something that happened last year.
Right. I want to offer that quote again because it's so fantastic. Imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. Now, I'm a huge movie fan, so that speaks to me on several levels anyway, and that's part of the reason I enjoy it. But the other reason is that when I'm working with my creative writing students, we actually, you know, this is actually part of what I share with them, is that creativity is the bridge between imagination and innovation. And what I mean by that is imagination, you know, it's a mashup of your memories, your observations, your wonders, your desires. But what it really means is that you're able to make pictures in your head. Why is this significant? Because the human brain was not originally designed to read. Words are not natural to us. The brain stores memories in pictures, in images. So when we're talking about deliberate thought, you really are engaging your imagination because you need to be thoughtful about things that are not yet, and that requires your imagination. But it's not just a matter, and this is what I teach my students as well, it's not just a matter of having an image or a picture. You have to be able to really, really focus on not just a flat two-dimensional picture, but creating that image three-dimensionally in your head. Give it color, give it texture, add sound, add smells, but most importantly, more than anything else, you've got to include feeling. All right, so
now, can I ask something real quick? Because you mentioned when you teach your students, you're talking about people you're teaching to write books.
Yeah. But the reason I love creativity so much is it's not just for the writers, the painters, the musicians. We are all capable of creativity because we all have imagination. Now, people don't think that they do because they get into the comparison game. Oh, I'm not as creative as that person. I'm not as imaginative as that person. Let that crap go right now because you have the power to create your life. You have the power to create a life that you love. And that's the whole intention behind this podcast. So in terms of thought, deliberate thought, creative thought, thought that will be manifested in your life, the keys, as we mentioned before, to this is adding the feeling, and the specific feeling that needs to be added to that is gratitude. So it's not enough to picture yourself getting a promotion at your job, for example. You have to not just see yourself sitting in that new office. You have to build that new office around you. You have to imagine what it's going to look like when you're sitting in that new office, how you're going to feel. You know, is it going to have, you know, better air conditioning? Are you going to have a window? You know, are you going to have a more comfortable chair? So it's the physical feeling of having that promotion, but more importantly, tantamount to this imaginary creation of yours is, how is it going to feel? How are you going to feel knowing that your efforts have been rewarded? How are you going to feel knowing that, you know, your capabilities and skills are appreciated? How are you going to feel knowing that you are now being challenged to take on more responsibility? How is it going to feel when you are able to do more for your family? So when you have these thoughts, which is the first step of creation, it's not enough to picture it. You have to feel it. You have to experience it. You have to act as if it has already happened.
Now, Mia?
Yes?
You're getting ahead of me.
I'm sorry. Okay, step back. And no, I'm not sorry. I'm passionate about this, and I'm not willing, you know, to step back, but I will allow the space for you to continue.
But what I was going to say is you did a fantastic job of covering exactly where I'm going.
Okay. So, well, let me just follow you for a couple minutes
then. Let me go back just one step, though, because I want people to understand one thing that I think helps to put this into perspective. The creative process by which we call into our lives the things that we do, not necessarily the things that we want, the things that we do, you know, the things that, you know, you may not have wanted it, but you may be calling it into your life anyway for the lack of understanding about how to create. But the creative process, the law of attraction, is sometimes in the Christian world expressed as prayer. That's what Christians would and religious believers would find the analogy to be. You ask, and you have faith that God is going to grant your prayer. And it's not how frequently you pray. It's the intensity with which you pray and give attention.
The certainty with which you pray.
Exactly. So let me take you through this three-step process real quick, because it's so simple that it sometimes goes over people's heads, which is why you really have to stop and think about the deeper insight into this. So we talked about the fact that creation starts with imagination. In reality, it starts with a desire. You may have the desire for something planted by something that you have imagined, but it is the desire for that thing or for that outcome or that circumstance that begins the creative process. So desire, another way to express desire, and I'm going to be using an acronym here that will help you to remember this. It's IAM. So if you're taking notes, you might want to write down the left column of your paper, the letters I underneath that A and underneath that M. So the I stands for interest. In order for you to begin the creative process, you have to take an interest in something. Taking an interest means developing a desire for it. Now, we have a tendency.
I'm sorry. I have never heard this before, so I'm actually sitting here taking notes as well.
Okay. So, I mean, again, we don't script this out, so I mean, that's why you probably didn't know that that's where I was going, but that's where I'm going. So I'm giving validation to what you... Now, see, you understand some of this stuff, even though you're hearing it expressed differently today. you understand this stuff. It's just that now I'm giving you a different perspective on how the process can be described, hopefully, in a way that people can really relate to.
But that's the whole point behind the De Bono quote, is that I'm looking at things in a different way.
Bingo.
I might be familiar with it, but I can't wait to see where you're going with this, so I'm going to shut up now.
And so the thing to keep in mind is that the reason that I look at what all of the different people over time have had to say about this topic, and I'm still searching them out, is that every time I hear a perspective expressed by somebody new, it gives me deeper insight into a way I can express it in a more comprehensible way. Because some of the things that we've learned over the years are very stilted in terms of how they were originally expressed, especially in some of the older texts. But the more people you hear it from, the more ways you find to hear it in a way that vibrates with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I found over the years, you know, again, I've been at this a while now. I'm a serious student of this subject. I'm not an expert. I'm a serious student. But the point is that I've been searching long enough to have found that there are some more articulate ways to express some of these concepts than the ones I started out with, the things I was originally introduced to. So I'm glad I stayed on the journey, because I'm hoping that I can shorten people's learning curve. So interest is related to desire. Desire is really about having a passion for the outcome, whatever that might be. And what I mean by passion for the outcome is that desire is tied to wanting something bad enough that you're willing to give it your attention. And that is the next element of this three-step process. You first have to have...
Before we move on...
Well, I wasn't going to move on yet.
Never mind. But can you share like some examples of the passion for the outcome?
Okay.
Because...
So that's good. So I'm going to use one that can really hit home with a lot of people, because it's usually something that a lot of people think about, is that people want to have a successful career, whatever that might mean, whether it's their business, whether it's their employment position, whatever it might be. So having a desire, for example, let's say you're starting off in a new job and you'd like to be the CEO one day. So you start to visualize yourself being the CEO. You will become the CEO when you have a passion for that outcome. When that's something you really want, and not just something that you had come into your mind as a fleeting thought, like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to be the CEO?
Okay.
Versus, I would really like to be CEO of this company, or be the CEO of a company one day.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, the I could also be for intention.
Yeah. Intention,
so
interest.
It's not just, wouldn't it be nice to be the CEO someday? I intend to be the CEO one day.
Okay, so interest
can
be expressed in varying degrees of intensity. And the higher the intensity, the more likely it is that the thing will manifest. The higher the intensity, that's why you go from being interest to desire to passion. When something becomes your passion, the level of intensity that you put into that thought is much higher than when it was just something you were interested in. I'm interested in bowling. When was the last time I went bowling? I couldn't tell you.
Probably the same time you went roller skating last.
Exactly. But there are other things that I'm passionate about that manifest every day in my life because of the level of passion and the level of energy that I put into them, into the thought about them. I'm driving back and forth to, you know, between the office and home, and I'm thinking about those things. Now, that takes us to the next step in the equation. The A stands for attention. And closely aligned with attention is expectation. So once you have a desire for something, the next step in the creation process is to give that thing your attention. There's a lot of people who would love to be the CEO of a company, or love to have their own business, or love to have a vacation home in the Alps, whatever that may be, whatever it, you know, that passion may be. But if they don't couple that with giving their attention to it, this is where, you know, activity, action, you know, add to the equation. If they don't couple that with giving their attention to it, then it's just another random thought. It may be stronger than an interest, but it still requires more in order to manifest. So giving your attention to something starts with focus. Focus is intensified by the amount of time you devote to thinking about that passion that you have. And some of these things overlap, so you can't really separate them out. It's all part of one process, a very seamless process. So attention, again, is enhanced by intensity. The more you think about it, the more you give it your attention, the more you impress upon the universe to bring it into your life. Remember, Earl Nightingale, Buddha, James Allen, and many others have said, even this is got a biblical basis, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Or she.
Or she. Or it. Or whatever. It. My point is that if you look at all the people that know this knowledge and understand it, they're all saying the same thing. If they, you know, everyone's always looking for scientific consensus on things. If you look at the people who have been truly successful at creating the lifestyles that they've wanted to live, they all believe this.
Yeah.
As you think, so are you. You become what you think about most of the time.
Yeah.
So
one of my favorite motivational speakers is Tony Robbins.
If you mention and him one more time.
You know, he's going to come up. It, you know, I like him. I like what he says. I like the way he delivers it. I'll ask. I will create an intention and put my focus behind it. But one of the things that Tony says is where focus goes, energy flows. And I liked that so much. And I'll take a picture of this and I'll post it on the blog. But I actually wrote it on a little miniature post-it note and I taped it to the back of my phone. In other words, I've been giving my attention to that particular phrase. I've been focused on that particular phrase because your smartphone goes with you everywhere you go. So
let me point something ahead out on that. To show you the difference in terms of the degree of intensity, if you want to ramp up the intensity, tape it to the front of your smartphone.
But then I can't see messages from people like you.
But what's more important? Focusing on that intention or worrying about who sent you an IM?
I'm waiting for an IM from the universe. So
all right,
that's
well,
anyway.
You just got it. It said tape it to the front of the smartphone.
Smart ass.
All right, let's get back to focus. All right, so attention is closely aligned with expectation. Because here's the thing. Most people will not give attention to something they don't believe will happen.
Oh, that's true.
So by giving your attention to something, you are automatically creating an expectation that it will happen. Because think about it. You would not take the time to think about something and give it your attention if you didn't think you could do it.
Right.
Which
right.
is why becoming better at who you are so that you develop greater capabilities allows you to manifest so much more in your life. It's not just about learning more. It's about feeling competent. It's feeling confidence. It's the expectation that develops because you know you've got the capability. If you want to build a mansion and you don't have the raw material to do it, it doesn't matter how much you think about it. If you put your attention to it and figure out how to get the resources and you know it's possible to do it, you're more likely to take the action and give your attention to it. So that's why I think that attention and expectation are very closely aligned. But it is important for you to have an expectation that what you are focusing on can and will happen. So if you believe you can, yeah, I'm sorry.
We were about to say it at the same time. Attention comes down to belief. You pay attention to the things that you believe will manifest. So, again, making reference to the Christian Bible, you know, ask and it shall be answered.
That's right. Sometimes we pray and we don't really have a present belief that our prayer will be answered, and then we're stunned when it isn't. But the truth is that even before we began to pray, we were doubtful about whether this was going to happen for us. And that's why so many prayers go unanswered, because it's not just enough to ask. You've got to believe that it's so. And this process, I mean, I will say this. It's a simple process, but it takes some time to master it. It takes some time to get good at it. And it all starts with the level of belief that you have that this is the way things work. For example, let me give you just about the way things work. And I want you to remind me to talk about the magnifying glass when we come to attention.
Okay.
But if you were standing at the top of the Empire State Building and you could be on the roof and looking down into New York City, your level of belief in the law of gravity would definitely increase exponentially.
Oh, heck yes.
Because if you walked off the edge of that building, you would have no
There's
problem
no doubt.
Believing
There's
that
no
you
doubt.
Are going down. Okay? So that is because you have 100% belief in the law of gravity.
And what we're hoping that you will begin to develop is a 100% belief in the laws of the universe, including attraction.
Exactly. So when you believe in the law of attraction at the same level that you believe in the law of gravity, that's when you will be able to manifest things more quickly in your life. Most people, their journey is about getting to that level of belief in the other laws, not just the law of gravity. The reason that you're so accepting of the law of gravity is that you can see it happening. You've experienced it and you can see it happening every day around you. You're not aware that the law of attraction
is also around you
and happening
every day.
Exactly. So that's why understanding and plugging into a radio show like this is so important if you are sincerely interested in seeing things through a slightly different lens from the one that you may currently be viewing life through.
Now, so speaking of lenses, what was with the magnifying glass?
Okay, good transition. I appreciate that. I'm glad. Thanks for the reminder. You remember when we were kids, we would take a magnifying glass and we would sit on the sidewalk in front of the house and we would focus the sun's rays on a leaf to try to burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the boys used to do that with ants, too, and
yeah,
worms and everything.
Yeah.
And freak the girls out. But but the point is this. When you look at the sun's rays, generally, they're very diffuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't look directly into the sun, but if you look around, the sun's rays are just, they're just there. They're kind of everywhere. And it isn't until they become focused on a particular point that they become powerful enough to burn, to start fire. So if you picture from an analogy standpoint, your interests being starting off as relatively diffuse,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
increase the intensity of it by giving your attention to it.
Okay.
And if you have the expectation that your attention will cause it to burst into flame and manifest, that's the same process as taking that magnifying glass and harnessing the rays of the sun and directing it in a way that causes it energetically to manifest in the form of fire. Now, that is probably the most powerful analogy that I can use in terms of how, at least to this point in time that I'm aware of, that people can really relate to when it comes to the difference between wishing, hoping, and praying meaning just diffusely praying, and really focusing on making your prayer the object of your attention. If you don't believe when you pray that it's been granted to you, if you don't have that belief, you know, God's not going to give attention to something you're not giving attention to.
I love that.
Yeah, that's another way to think about it. You know, he's aware of what you really want and what you are just asking for because it's like the moment, you know, the thought of the moment or thought of the day, so to speak.
Right.
So he's responding to what you truly have in your heart. And that's another way to think about your attention. What you have in your heart is what you're really giving your attention to.
Exactly. And another quote that I really love is from Eric Fromm. Creativity requires the courage to let go of uncertainties.
I like that. I think you should say that again.
Creativity, in other words, being thoughtful and manifesting those thoughts in your life requires the courage. And the courage means to follow your heart, to believe in the outcome, as Glenn mentioned, to not listen to the naysayers in your life, to be brave in your, you know, and to let go of uncertainties. Everything that you want, everything you want to have, everything you want to do, everything that you want to be, it's yours.
I would
with
also
certainty.
I would also add to that that courage starts with understanding. Your courage to believe something grows with your understanding of how it works.
Well, that kind of leads into the M in your I am, doesn't it?
Kind of. So let's go ahead and finish that thought. So we have interest that increases in intensity to become passion. We have attention that increases in intensity to become what you think about most. The level at which you choose to devote attention determines how quickly it will manifest and how much it signifies your expectation. Let me give you an example on that. Just here's another cool one. If you really wanted a job, think about this. This is crazy, but you should try this one day. What do you got to lose? You really want a job bad, and you start to picture yourself in the job.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how much it would signal your attention to focus on that job if you started showing up for it before you were hired.
I've done that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done that.
Exactly. For one thing, it would freak people out at the job. They're like, wow, I guess she's really thinking that this is going to happen for her. You know?
Well, I mean, I didn't show up physically. Let me just be clear. I wasn't stalking the future boss, but showed up. In terms of follow-up calls, I showed up in terms of email. I showed up in ways to keep me at the top of his mind.
All right, that's all good. But I'm talking about showing up for the job, lunch pail in hand.
Security.
Well, you know what?
Code 7.
But think about that. Now, that's what we're talking about in terms of the physicality of it. But if you could show up in your mind with that level of intensity, that's what we're talking about. You need to visualize yourself walking through the door, going through security, sitting at your desk, picking up the phone and doing whatever it is that you're looking to be hired to be to do. And you have to make it feel as if you were physically showing up for the job. That is attention. That is focus. That is expectation that results in your being able to manifest that end result.
I love that. I love that. There's a song that's really popular right now. And oddly enough, I heard it on the radio right when I was parking in front of the building today. It's Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars, but there's a line in there that I just love.
You're going to play that later for me.
I will. But there's a line, I think in the second or third verse, it says, if we show up, we're going to show out. And I think that's kind of what you're saying right now.
Exactly.
Is it's like, show up, be present, and then you're going to show out because people are going to see the power of your intention, the power of your belief, the power of your creative process.
And you know, that's a great highlight, because think about this. All power starts from within. And your thoughts, when you give them passion and attention, the outward manifestation of what you had inside you is manifested in what's coming into your world. So the Bruno Mars statement is, you know, what was it again? Give it to me.
If we show up, we're going to show out.
You're going to show out. So in other words, showing up means getting your thoughts organized in a way that they manifest in the outward world. What's in your heart shows up in your life. You know? Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I have to laugh about that because it's like I've had several people recently go, God, you look so different. In fact, my friend Jeanette walked past me last night, walked right by me as I was waiting for her. And when I called her name, she turned around, she's like, oh, I didn't see you. You look so different. And I'm like, wow. So this is what happens when you're happy. People don't recognize you anymore.
Exactly. But you know what? But see, and that's an important observation. I mean, this is not an accident that people are making the comment to you. You look so happy. Did you lose weight? Or you look so happy. I didn't recognize you. You know what? You have always been that person. you never allowed them to see that because you never saw it for yourself. But now you are starting to be comfortable in your own skin, and you're starting to understand who you really are and who you're meant to be. And people are starting to see that because that's what's manifesting from inside you.
Because I'm paying attention. You're and giving, I'm focused.
Bingo. Bingo.
And I expect, I wake up every morning these days and I'm like, oh my gosh, something good is going to happen today and I can't wait to see what it is.
You know what though? You don't have to wait to see what it is when you understand this process, because when you get up in the morning, your day is about what you're going to create, not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is what you choose to create. And when you understand that, you will understand why you should always be excited to get up and start the next day.
And but, see, if you're, but out without, there listen, if you're out there listening and you are sensing, you know, sort of an instructional or correctional atmosphere to what Glenn's saying, please understand that I don't take it that way. I am learning. I am very new to personal development, and Glenn is much more experienced. So I don't take it as a correction. I take it as what it is, guidance and another perspective. And that's all we're asking you to do out there as you're listening. You know, if you hear something that's unfamiliar, or even if you hear something that is familiar, we're just adding a different perspective and asking you to be thoughtful about what you hear.
And the other thing you got to remember is that some of the things that I say are not necessarily my thoughts. It's being communicated through me to somebody.
Okay.
And I sometimes end up not even realizing I said what I just said. I stun myself sometimes. So that's why it's important to be open to the messages around you. You turn on the radio and you're thinking something, and then all of a sudden a song comes on and there's a specific phrase that's going, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh my goodness, that is the answer.
Oh my gosh.
That's not instruction.
That
that's the universe responding to what's in your heart and what you gave your attention to at that moment in time.
And it's the coolest thing when it happens. It happened, oh my gosh, I forget what day it was last week, but I had something on my mind and it was starting to kind of, you know, make me feel some kind of way. I could feel the tension building in my body because it was not the most pleasant of thoughts. And I'm kind of like, and I switched the radio stations, and it was, I swear, hand to the universe, the very next song that started playing was Bob Marley's Three Little Birds, Don't Worry About a Thing, Every Little Thing is Going to Be All Right. And I have no doubt that that was a message to me from the universe at the exact moment I needed it. Why? Because I pay attention.
All right, so I have a friend who is no longer here with us in physical form on this planet, but he used to have a saying that I love and love dearly because of him, which is, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
Ooh, I like that.
Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. So when you see little serendipity moments and little coincidences and little unexplained circumstances and messages that came your way and you don't understand why that happened when it did, that's in response to your thoughts. You called that into your life as well, whatever it might have been. Now let me finish this.
I know, I'm sorry. You said that the
element.
A was for focus, and I keep distracting you, so get focused and tell us what the M
right.
is for.
So the M I have found helps with the first two. It's for motivation, okay? And the reason I find it helps with the first two is that most people have a interest, desire, and give their level of attention to that desire in proportion to what motivated them to want it in the first place. So, for example, it may very well be that you want to be CEO of a big company because the income that would come along with that would allow you to take better care of your family. It may be that you want to be wealthy so that you don't need a job and you can spend more time doing the things that you want to do. Whatever the motivation is, it doesn't matter what it is for you, what it is for me, but it is an important component to whether you will truly develop the passion for your interest at a level that causes it to manifest. So what I encourage people to do is to always have in mind their why. Why is that passion important to you? Why will determine how much energy you put into it and how frequently and how intensely you're willing to give it your attention. If it's something that's unfavorable in your life, if you, for example, are out of shape, overweight, whatever it might be, and you want to, you know, you want to experience life in a better way, your motivation, you know, whatever it might be, is going to determine the level of passion that you develop for making it happen. So if you look at the acronym IAM, it spells I am. And this goes back to what we talked about before. You are, or you become, what you think about most of the time. So this is a very easy way to remember how to stay focused. Your interest, coupled with the attention and expectation you develop around the interest, fueled by your motivation, the original reason that this was important to you, is what helps you to manifest something more quickly.
I love that. So like I said, I wasn't familiar with this because I haven't heard you say this before. So I was taking notes all over the place while you were talking.
I'm sure you understand those, but I can't understand what you're writing there. But
no, it's all good. So my takeaway from this is that I am are the steps to creation. I am the new CEO of this company. I am buying a vacation home in whatever you said before. I forget, the Alps or whatever it was. So the I, which stands for interest or intention, is the what. And the A, which stands for attention in action, is the how. And the M, which stands for motivation, make it important, and manifestation, is the why.
Okay, so let me clarify one thing. That was a great expression, but I want to be careful we don't confuse. The law of attraction, from your perspective, doesn't require you to focus on the how.
That's a whole other podcast.
What you said was very important. If you take and add this one extra thing to it.
Okay.
The I stands for interest, or, you know, as you said,
intention.
The A, attention, is not necessarily the how you're going to do it. It's the how you're going to signal your expectation.
Okay.
That's where you devote your time and attention to it. So it's how you're going to signify your intention, your intensity at that desire, at that passion.
Okay. So then the A could also be for ask. By paying attention,
yes,
and being in action, that's how you ask the universe for what you
absolutely
are interested in.
That's exactly right.
Okay, cool.
So just to make that clarification, because when we get into later lessons, we're going to be talking about how you don't have to worry about how you're going to get the job. You need to visualize yourself, and it will happen.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, you know, M, you know, motivation, that fuels the rest of it. It's kind of like the kindling that keeps you on track. You know, you always need, when you start to lose the ability to focus because life is happening around you, it never hurts for you to be reminded of why this was important to you in the first place. Hey, Glenn, you remember that when you started on this journey, you said that by summer you wanted to be able to fit into a bathing suit less than half the size of, you know, Massachusetts, you know. That's why this was important to you. Keeping your why in focus helps you to keep your intention focused.
I believe that.
Let me show you one more thing.
Yeah.
So I used to think that I am statements, because that's not, there are several people that believe in that. They believe in I am
affirmations,
yeah, and everything. I used to think that was corny. I just wouldn't do it. But when I started to understand what I just shared with you here, the I am statement is really for me a reminder of these three elements of the creative process. So it's no longer just sitting there idly saying, chanting to yourself, I am this, I am that. What you're really doing now is being reminded that there's a three-step process to becoming this thing that you say you want.
I love that.
And so now the I am statement has so much more meaning for me than when it was just this mechanical process that if you do this, it'll work.
Okay.
You know, now it does work because I understand what's behind the I am.
I love that.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it fits in beautifully with the free gift that I always offer to new subscribers and new listeners. When you go to elementalabundance.com/feelgood, you'll see that there's a little opt-in form to get like a free gift, and you'll see how to connect with us on social media. But what you get when you subscribe is an e-course that I call the 7-Day Affirmation Transformation. And it shares a lot of the same information that you just gave. So one of the great things about this process is, what's that thing about, you're better with the Bible than I am, where two or more are gathered.
I'm going to butcher this because I know this isn't the exact phraseology, but if two or more gather in the name of my Father and ask, it shall be granted to you. Something to that effect.
Something to that effect. So my point is that every time the two of us gather, some really incredible things get created. And what's so cool is they actually get created independently. You had no idea that I had put together this 7-day e-course on affirmations, and I had no idea that you were creating this tool around I am. And
well, that's
yet,
true. That's
and
true.
Yet, you know, there's a synchronicity here in the thoughts and the intentions of what we're doing.
Well, that's because when two or more minds come together in perfect harmony for a definite purpose, we tap into the infinite wisdom, the infinite intelligence. And we access energetic intelligence at a higher level than by ourselves.
Oh, you mean we're creating in the image of God?
Oh, yes.
Oh, how about that?
Now, Napoleon Hill describes that as the mastermind principle. We're going to talk about that another day. But let me wrap up one more thing on this I am statement.
You don't have to wrap up. I'm happy to keep talking
about
it. No,
I understand. But I just want to give people another way to look at this.
Okay.
The letters I am also, when reorganized into a different composition,
they say like, Mia. Cool.
All right, that too. I knew you were going to say that. All right, they say Mia, but they also say aim, A-I-M.
Oh yeah, that one. Okay.
Now think about this. If you picture your desire as a goal or a target, it's a lot easier to hit the target when you take aim. So when you put your attention into your interest, your passion, and you remind yourself of your motivation for wanting to hit that target, now you have an acronym that keeps you focused on taking aim. Attention to your interests, reminded about your motivation for having the interest in the first place, helps you to aim. So I don't care how many different ways you have to be reminded of the 3-step process. Pick the one that works for you. Mia works for me.
And me.
I'm motivated to pursue my interest because she helps me to keep my attention on it. And that's really what her role is here, is to keep me on task.
So, yeah, this is, oh my gosh, this is such great information. We might have to turn this into like an infographic or something. This was incredible.
Listen,
information.
You could turn this one podcast into an all-year course.
That's true, too.
So, yeah, there's a number of things you could do with it, and we'll figure out what to do with it. But the point is that this one, I think we're a little over an hour today, right now.
We usually are.
It probably took me 10 years to understand this at the level I just shared with you. So if you are able to receive this the way that I've shared it, Mia has just shaved 10 years off your learning curve. Now that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go out and study the sources that we are referring to. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't explore this on your own. But here's the thing. 10 years ago, I didn't know that this stuff existed. So I was going from place to place, seeing it here, seeing it there. At least we've identified James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. Get the book. The Bible. Get the book. If you go onto YouTube and you look up The Strangest Secret.
Oh, Earl Nightingale.
The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. Watch the video. It's actually an audio, but it's got some video components to it. But listen to that lesson, The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. The point is that it took me years to be exposed to all of these resources individually. The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. Now, I know we're throwing a lot of stuff at you, but I want you to understand how prolific the resources are out here on all of this stuff.
And the resources will be available. The resources will all be available for you on the blog, which is www.elementalabundance.com. So don't worry about trying to listen to everything. If you're driving, for heaven's sake, you know, pay attention to the road. Pull over and write it down. But if you don't have time to do that, the resources will be available on the blog site. So,
but here's the main message. The point is that we have basically referenced and assembled in linear format a lot of resources that help you to quickly identify where this information is available. And that's what shortens your learning curve. That's why when you go to, go to college, when you go to a college and you take a course and they tell you these are the books that we're going to be working from, they're basically shortening your learning curve because somebody has already assembled for you what it is that gets you started in the subject. And I'm glad I mentioned this about college, because here's the thing. The fact that someone has assembled the resources doesn't mean that they should tell you what they should mean to you.
Repeat that, please. That's important.
The fact that someone has assembled the resources to begin your exploration of the subject doesn't mean that you necessarily have to accept what their interpretation is of what it should mean to you.
Nice.
You should be looking objectively about the information that you are consuming to see if there is truth in what they have assembled. In fact, if every college student went into a classroom with the idea that the teacher wasn't going to teach them what to think, but give them an opportunity to experience information in this subject matter in an organized way for them to consider and decide its meaning, then college would be a lot more productive for people.
Exactly. You have to create your own meaning. You know, Glenn has mentioned a couple times during this podcast that, you know, it takes time to master this material. And we have never, not once, claimed to be masters here. But I absolutely can speak with authority on the shortening of the learning curve, because what it took Glenn 10 years to learn, with his guidance and help, I've been able to start learning in 6 months or less. And that's a huge, huge difference in, you know, speeding up my evolution. And I'd love to give you an example. You know, sometimes we do this unconsciously. That's why we're so deliberately encouraging you to be thoughtful. Because a lot of times we create without thinking, without knowing, without realizing what we're doing. The easiest example is probably from the movie or the book The Secret, where the person stumbles out of bed and they rip their pantyhose and they're out of toothpaste. They created the bad day that they had based on their attitude, their vibration, their energy that they were putting out. But it works the other way as well. There's a movie that my son was like so incredibly excited. I mean, as soon as they announced that they were making the movie, he's like, Mom, we have to go see this when it comes out. Mom, we have to go see this. So, you know, fast forward a year and a half, the movie's finally coming out. And of course, that's the week that my timesheet didn't go in on time. The boss forgot to sign it, which means my paycheck didn't get processed, which means there was no direct deposit into my bank account on Tuesday morning. The movie came out Friday, and I made a promise. I promised my kid. We were committed. We had every intention of being in the movie theater on opening night to see Interstellar and to enjoy that experience. But because I have learned that I create my existence, I create my circumstances, I create the things that I want, I decided not to worry about it. As Glenn said, the how was not up to me. I had the intention, I had the interest, I had the desire and the passion to go see this movie with my son. I was motivated. I made it important, because it was important to him and I love him and I wanted him to enjoy this. I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about this. I don't know how we're going, but I know we're going. I have the belief. I have the certainty. I have the focus and I have the expectation. More than anything else, I had the expectation. So here it is. The movie opens Friday. Thursday night, I swear to you, I have the movie stub in my wallet to prove it. I'll take a picture and post it. Thursday night, the day before I'm supposed to go pick him up, the day before we're supposed to go to the opening of this movie, a check came in the mail. A check that was going to cover the price of my ticket, his ticket. Okay, but even more, it covered a tank of gas and the snacks that we bought at the movie. So my point in saying all this is that's what I did almost unconsciously, but with the intention and the expectation and the belief. So we're not saying that you have to be masters of this process. We're saying you just have to practice the I am or the aim.
That's right. Now, let's back up. You've covered a lot of stuff in there. Now, do you understand why when I talk to you about the how was not your domain? Your domain was to ask and believe. You visualize yourself being at the movie, and you didn't worry about how it was going to happen. It was not going to happen through your paycheck. So tell them what the check was that you did get, unexpectedly in your mind.
The check was a royalty check from my former publisher, Harlequin Enterprises.
Which doesn't come on a scheduled basis.
Well, they come twice a year. Okay, let me back up. Twice a year, I get a royalty statement, which is, here's how many books you sold in the last 6 months. So twice a year, I get a royalty statement. However, there is no guarantee of a check. So I got the envelope. I saw that it was the royalty statement. But because I had no idea whether I'd sold any books in the last 6 months or not, I had no expectation of getting a check. What I had was the expectation of some way, somehow, I'm taking my kid to the movie.
All right, now contrast that with every other Friday. You know that unless your boss doesn't process your paycheck, money is going into your bank account with you get a statement twice a year without necessarily knowing what day it's coming. You weren't thinking on that day that you were going to get your Harlequin statement and there might be a check.
Oh, no.
That wasn't even on your mind.
No, because it goes from Toronto, Canada to Zurich, Switzerland to wherever you are in the U.S., and that mail process can take who knows how many days. It's
well,
never.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
At the time that you were thinking about the passion of going to the movie and the motivation of wanting to make your son happy, you had no appreciation for the timing of year as to whether or not that statement was coming or not coming and whether it was going to have a check or not. It wasn't even on your radar.
Nope.
And that's the point. The universe decided how you were going to get that money, and it wasn't going to be through your paycheck. Now, you were putting your attention on the paycheck,
yes,
and the universe saying, listen, I know that this is important because you're giving your attention to it, but I got a better way for us to do this.
Yeah.
Here's your Harlequin check. Have a good time at the movies.
And don't worry about running out of gas when you get there, and don't worry about being hungry while you're enjoying it, which was awesome.
And stop eating that junk food. No, didn't say that?
I didn't say that.
Anyway.
So anyway, you know, this is undoubtedly the first of many conversations around creativity. And even though we said we were going to unpack this episode, I think we have pretty much packed it anyway with a lot of great information. I just want to invite you. Listen to this a second time, please. And I mean that with deliberation because you heard it the first time. But I really invite you to go back and actively listen the second time. And as Glenn has mentioned, as I've mentioned, be open-minded about the things that you're hearing.
Open-minded, by the way, doesn't mean that you accept it. It means that you are not rejecting it before you've taken the time to consider it.
You're allowing it to be a possibility before you accept it as a truth. We're not demanding that you accept our truth as your truth. We're inviting you to create your own truth.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I think that's a great place to end this. So until next time, I hope you'll connect with us. You can download some free stuff and find the show notes and other resources at www.elementalabundance.com. You can sign up for the newsletter and the 7-day affirmation transformation by going to elementalabundance.com/feelgood. And you can connect with us by sending an email to feelgood@elementalabundance.com. So until next time, I wish you luck, I wish you joy, and blessed be.